not be judged. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for this ability, Lord, to be serving you, God, in gladness and to know that you got all of this, Lord. Lord, I ask you right now, Father, to touch, Lord, everybody. Lord, anything that you see in us, actions or attitudes that you do not like, we give it to you right now in the name of Jesus, because we cannot do anything on our own. Lord, I thank you for what you've already done, what you're doing right now, and what you're going to do in the future. Our lives, our lives are in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for it. The Bible said on the night he was betrayed, go ahead and take your plastic piece. If you haven't done it before, look, there's a clear plastic piece on top. Pull that first and pull out this little wafer. The Bible said on the night he was betrayed, everybody got their wafer? The night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he lifted it up and he blessed it and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Everybody got it? Ready? Now go ahead and pull up the tin foil. Then he held up the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. Drink it. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, DC. Thank you, Father.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
God is so good. Look at somebody and tell them you're looking good in spite of yourself. Yeah. God is so good. Let's see here. Okay. We got something special to do this morning first off. When somebody graduates from high school, we give them a Thompson Chain reference. When they graduate from college, we give them, then they're really smart. Of course, I'm pretty sure Sierra will say like me, the more at school I get, the dumber I feel. Amen. No pun intended. But Sierra Bonner has just graduated from EMU. How you say that? Mui? How you say that? MACU, not EMU. EMU is a bird. MACU. I'm sorry, Sierra. No pun intended. Amen. Okay, come on up here. She just graduated. And we got her a Bible. And it is a King James Version, New Living Translation. People's Parallel Bible, wrote in it, that Sierra, you have come a long way since I met that sweet little smiley-faced girl. You have many milestones, made many milestones. I'm proud to be able to share this and even play a small part in it. Keep passing milestones. There are many coming your way, and Don't look, and nobody can be against you if God's for you. Amen. I can't read my own writing. Praise God. There you go. Congratulations, young lady. Get a load of hand clap and pray. God is so awesome. Now I got to find my. Where did the hand thing go? The hand clicker. Oh, there it is. If DC was trying to be funny one day and took the foot clicker down there and was clicking the foot kicker while I was trying to click this. I'm still got a little, I had a sinus infection last week and took antibiotics and I felt a whole lot better, but I think the changing weather and being outside yesterday kind of reignited some of this stuff, but it's going to be okay. Amen. That's right. God's got this. I just want to say God's got this. Elderly couple, how many just learned how to text? Okay, an elderly couple had just learned how to send text messages on their cell phones. The wife was a romantic type. How many we got a wife that's a romantic type? And the husband was kind of a no-nonsense guy. How many here can say they're no-nonsense? Okay, one afternoon the wife went out to meet a friend for coffee. As she waited for a friend, she decided to send her husband a romantic text message, and she wrote, "If you are sleeping, send me your dreams. If you're laughing, send me your smile. If you're eating, send me a bite. If you're drinking, send me a sip. If you're crying, send me your tears. I love you." She patiently waited for his sweet romantic reply. He finally texts back and said, "I'm on the toilet. Please advise." What do you want me to send you? Woo! We're going to finish up from last week. I promise I won't keep you long. I'm going to go over just a few slides from that. Just a few. Just for those that were not here, they can catch up. I remember last week, it felt like a year ago after going through that sinus infection, COVID-19. And really quickly, now the COVID-19 has put the entire world in a holding pattern. Remember we talked about a holding pattern? If you're in a airplane and you're trying to land that plane and there's stuff going on down the runway and it's not your time yet, some of y'all pilots know all about this, Ben knows all about this. Ben's probably put a lot of guys in a holding pattern since he was an air traffic controller, but they're in a holding pattern because they can't get down yet. And so you see the ground, you see your destination, you see where you want to land, but you're on hold. And sometimes those guys fly around for quite some time while they're waiting to get out of this holding pattern. Well, the world has been locked down and put in a holding pattern with the COVID-19. It's amazing how when COVID-19 came, I just thought it was going to be something quick and easy and out of here. We're going to have something. We got all these smart guys, these scientists. We got this figured out. Well, we didn't. And so we had to wait. And then by the time you see a little bit of break, there's a civil unrest. Everybody's been cooped up, and now all these things start happening, there's civil unrest. And so instead of things getting better, they get worse, and now we're waiting again. Now, before the unrest sees any breaks, then election gets in full swing. And now you're hearing so much from both sides. They can take the smallest thing and make it humongous, or they can take the greatest thing and make it small, whichever way it does for them. And so, honestly, sometimes you don't know who to believe, what to believe. When you see this stuff, all you got to do is you just have to look at people's records. If you want to find out something, look at the actual record. Don't listen to the rhetoric, because sometimes they misremember their record, okay? Just look at the record for have a good sense, okay? But now we got a nation divided. It's divided because of COVID ID. Should we wear a mask? Shouldn't we wear a mask? Is there going to be if they even come out with the shots, or we should take the shots or not take the shots, you know, civil unrest, how are we going to handle that? You know, they even talked about last week about moving, either changing or moving the Washington Monument. Can you imagine moving the Washington Monument? You know, and so this nation is so divided. So again, we wait and we wait and we wait. Okay. So this morning, just for a few minutes, I promise you it won't be too long. We're going to talk about reasons to thank God for the wait. Psalm 27 and 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. Now again, just a couple, have you ever felt like your life was put on hold? Everybody can raise your hand now, because it has been put on hold. Amen? You're doing things different. When you go into Walmart, they're counting you now when you go in. When you go in any store, they're saying, you can come in, but only a certain amount of people can come in, and you must be wearing a mask when you come in. There's all kinds of things going on out there, and there's restaurants that aren't even open again. There's businesses that are shutting down. Some have shut down for good. I think this is 60% of restaurants in New York will never reopen. Yeah, and so there's a lot of stuff going on. Watch the news. Just don't get oversaturated with it, because it'll just make you grumpy. It'll make you ill. And it'll make you want to get up and throw something at the television. Remember, the television is the Western Union guy. Okay? You can always change the channel. If you want something calm and silent and smooth and uplifting, watch a John Wayne movie. It's amazing how that's calm now, isn't it? You know, yeah, Hop Along, Cassidy. All right. So you're expecting growth, But instead you feel stagnant. You're expecting joy, but you feel pain. You're expecting breakthrough, but you feel broke down. You pray and you expect but all there is wait. You see, God understands your pain. Amen? Now how many here with a show of hands like waiting? There's no hands going up. Amen. I could say how many husbands have to wait for your wives, but you wouldn't be brave enough to put your hand up. Well, one in the back, because his wife ain't with him. He would do it anyway. I know he would. How many wives get tired of waiting on your husbands? Now, their hands will go up. There you go. I've seen a couple of hands again. Their husbands are not with them. It's amazing. Okay. I see people going. All right. So who likes to wait? Fallen humans do not like to wait. That's why we wind up in this mess to start with. Adam and Eve, they just couldn't wait on God. You know, we want instant gratification. We want life's naughtiest problems to be solved in a half an hour. We watch Matlock, he solves the greatest murders in an hour. Perry Mason, an hour. Matt Dillon, his first episodes in 30 minutes. And we think we can do ours in 30 minutes or an hour. Some of us, it takes a long, long long time. So why is that so hard to wait, the sons of Adam? So here it is, the last from last week, and then we're going to jump into the new stuff here, okay? Here it goes. Ready? Waiting on the Lord, believe it or not, is one of the most sanctifying things you can do. Let me say that again. We all talk about sanctification, and if we're not careful, we think sanctification is what you put on, what you take off, all of that stuff. But let me take it a little deeper. Sanctification is more than what you put on and what you take off. Okay? Sanctification is when God does a work in your heart, and He does such a powerful work in your heart that you have a revolution in your spirit. So one of the most sanctifying things you can do is learn to wait on the Lord. All right? Our old Lord, your ways are higher than our ways, your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. We pray in hope, then we wait on the Lord to answer. Again, the Puritans, they developed this doctrine called the doctrine of waiting, or God's school of waiting. Wait on the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait on the Lord. All these words, wait, be strong, take courage. Every last word in the Hebrew talks about binding and holding on to something greater than you until it changes you. So that's some very powerful, powerful stuff. So now, while we're waiting on the Lord, what is God doing while we're waiting on the Lord? What's He doing in our life when we got to wait? Again, how many, you know, I can't, yesterday, I went through about 20 stoplights. 18 of them turned yellow just before I got there. So then I had to wait, but I had to wait for this cop, this side, that side, this side, that side. So I had to wait for the whole cycle. I didn't just get there when it was still red. I got there when it was yellow. I couldn't even speed up to get in there because by the time I got to the light, it was red. And I said, okay, Lord, I get it. I know I'm preaching on waiting tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. So it gets us to pray without ceasing. We're needy. How many knows that? No matter what you got going on, you're needy. I've seen people say, I don't need anything. I've worked hard and I've done my thing and I got it all. And you find out, maybe not so. You know, because guess what? In one phone call, life can change. One doctor's appointment, your life can change. Amen? Just when the funeral home calls, every time the funeral home calls me, I'll say, please tell me you're inviting me for lunch. And they'll say, well, if you want to, we can go to lunch after you finish what we're getting ready to ask you to do. And I go, I know, guess what? As a matter of fact, I even, one of the funeral homes, I've got the ringtone, so you had a bad day. Da, da, da. And the other funeral home is, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, isn't it? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Jesus Christ to live. Remember, He is sanctifying you. He's getting you in a position that He can use you greater than you've ever been used before. And when you refuse to wait, you actually hold up His ability to use you as fully as He wants to because you're standing in your own way. Wow. Because you can't wait. You know, you can go on the internet now and you know, when I was getting my certified pastoral counselor, certification. It's a worldwide certification, and it required 4 years of psychology, and it required 400 hours of training, and I have to keep it updated every 2 years with two to 400 hours of training. You know, I can get that same certification for $25. Instantly sent to me, I can make a copy and put it on the wall. But guess what? It means absolutely goose egg. Okay? So for those that don't want to wait, get you $25 certificate. But when you get into deep weeds, when you're really having a hard time and you really need to know what you're doing while you're dealing with people's lives, their lives and their spirit, their soul is hanging in the balance, that $25 certificate you got from Johnny's Bar and Grill and Theology School, Lube Shop, is not going to be like Lee University 4 years and American Association of Christian Counselors and all of those hours. There's a big, big difference. So the same way, are you willing to wait? God's doing something in you that you don't even realize. So when we pray, there's a divine connection. He desires it. It's also divine communication because he's listening. And it's a divine consolation because he will respond. So that's number one. It calls us to pray without ceasing. I'll try to get through this kind of quick. I said kind of quick. Because remember, we're waiting. We're waiting. Is the pastor through? No, because we're still waiting for him to get to the end of this thing. Okay. So now, it causes us to pray without ceasing, but it also, we get a greater understanding. See, we understand that we are dependent upon God. Have you ever met somebody that knows everything? Please don't point. Have you ever met anybody that just knows everything about everything and everybody? You know, the problem is there's a lot of people I know that knows everything. They know all the answers. The only problem is they don't know the questions. Amen. Okay. You know why we have that? And I have to fight it myself. I really have to fight it. You know, I was on a doctor's office. I've used it too, is don't confuse your Google search with my doctor's degree. Yeah. Okay. So now, so here we go. That's what the doctor said. Okay. Though our hearts crave omniscience, which is all knowing, and omnipotence, all power, we don't have either one of them. I don't know everything. I know I'd like to know everything. If I knew everything, a lot of problems could be solved a lot faster. There's some things I just walk off of and leave it alone because I know it's not going to work to start with. But you know what? I don't know that. You don't know that. So it's important that we wait on God. Hebrews 10:23, the Amplified Version says, "So let us cease and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promises reliable, he's sure and faithful to his word." So we have to be dependent. He says, siege and hold fast. Remember, when you see wait, it's always talking about when it says wait on the Lord, you siege him, you hold fast. That's part of the waiting, okay? And he's dependable because he's reliable to his word. Next thing, when we wait on God, believe it or not, it increases our faith. See, Hebrews defines faith as the conviction of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The one word for evidence in the Greek is the title deed. Wow. It's powerful. You see, when we wait, God works. And we get results. He is. I got to tell you, sometimes I don't do it that way. How about you? Ready? Here's what I do. I'm Mr. ADHD. I'm a poster child for ADHD. Amen. I tried to tell my wife that weren't so because she said, "Well, look at this test," and it said, and it had like 12 signs. I said, "I've only got 11." And she said the 12th one was making loud noises. By the time I walked in the room, it went, whoop! She said, 12. How many's ever been here when I walked in and went, whoop? Okay. When we get impatient, we get ahead of God. We get results. But the problem is the results we get is ours. Ugh. Nobody's ever done that but me, I know. Yeah, I've done it myself. You know, we want to blame everybody else. Or we want to defer. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. Remember Adam and Eve? Adam, have you done what I told you not to do? Well, it's that woman's fault. Woman you gave me, it's her fault. Eve? Well, it ain't me. It's that snake. And, of course, the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. It increases our faith. Then it helps us lean on God's sovereignty. Let's back that up. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Okay? Waiting, we experience God's lordship in an intimate way. I just got to stop and let you think about it for a minute. when I'm waiting, I can be laying in bed at night and all of a sudden I'll be thinking about something. And it might even startle my sleep. And the Lord will speak to me just as sweet and say, take your hands off the wheel, David. Or, do you trust me? Or do you really believe I've got you? When we wait, we experience His Lordship. He's Lord of all, or not Lord at all, in an intimate way. Psalm 97:9 says, for you, O Lord, are supreme over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. See, He's perfect. He's God. Colossians 1:7 says, and He Himself existed before all things, and in Him were all things consist, cohere, and are held together. Not only is He perfect, He's power. He doesn't have power, He is power. Psalm 99, the Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. He is protection. I'm getting ready to close. Getting ready. Y'all keep waiting. It gives us hope in our future. I've sent this out as a mighty army. Hope, H-O-P-E, hold on, pain ends. Hold on, pain ends. You see, Romans 8:24-25 says, now hope that is seen is not hope. If I see it in front of me, it's not hope. If I'm thirsty and there's a water bottle in front of me and it's open and it's got my name on it, that's not hope. That's reach out and get you some. But if I'm thirsty and I believe there's a bottle down there somewhere, then that's hope. I believe when I see the light in a tunnel, I believe there is light at the end of the tunnel and it's not in the train. That's hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You see, waiting is still this glorious byproduct called patience. I want it, God, and I'm being patient. I'm holding my hands, God. I want you to fix it. Fix it. Patience with God is really this most awesome word. I just give you the Greek. One of the words for patience is in the book of James is cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Not Kirk Douglas endurance. I'm waiting, God. Yes, thank you, Lord. You got this, and I'm going to be happy no matter what the outcome is. I trust you in this. Luke 21:19 says, in your patience possesses your souls. Now, I want you to see something about souls. This is very, very powerful. Not only is your soul your connection with God, it's also your connection with man. And it also means it's psyche. One of the words for soul is psyche, your ability to think. And if you're not patient, you can't think. Wow. All you got in your mind is I got to solve that problem, and I'm going to do it with or without God's help. You hear me, Lord? Oh, we never say it out loud, but we do it. So now watch this. By your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your souls. Again, patience is not just, back it up there. Patience is not just waiting, but how we act while we wait. Wow. Now I really am getting ready to close. I've only got 5, 10, 15 more slides. Just seeing how good y'all can wait. It reminds us that we live between times. I promise you that this is not all is going to be of me. There's coming a day on the other side. I think about it every day when we pray. We thank God for taking Bethany. And I think about Billy and I think about Dorothy. I think about all those that's gone on ahead of us and they've all got young bodies and they're having fun. They're not having to put up with medicine and putting up with pain and putting up with disease. Wow. So watch this real quick. When Jesus returns, the not yet will collapse into the already. No more waiting for answers. Matter of fact, when I get to heaven, I probably won't even care about things down here anymore. Jesus will set everything right. When I'm in his presence, wow. But until then, we wait, we pray, we wait, and we're sanctified by God's wise process of making us wait. Hebrews, I'll get it to you. Hebrews 11:13 in the Message, it says, each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen? Amen. If this is my home, I'm in trouble because I'm getting wider-headed. I'm waking up now with some aches and pains I didn't have a little while ago. You know what? Guess what? This ain't it. This is not all. And it gives us an eternal viewpoint. Okay? When we bring our urgent petitions before the Lord, we wait with expectancy. We move from our way to God's way. I used to love Frank Sinatra. My favorite song from Frank Sinatra until Elvis sang it. Frank Sinatra was my favorite song from Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And then I was 17 years old. Elvis, y'all remember 45s? That was not a gun. It was a record. And I had Elvis My Way in concert. And I put it on my 45. That thing would play. And you could pick up the arm and push it to the side. And it'd play it over and over. And in my room, you'd hear, I did it my way. I did it my way. And when after I got saved, I found out my way was the highway. I want to do it his way. Okay? So now, now I really am close. DC, y'all come on up here. Get ready. Jonathan Edwards prayed, O Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Wow. Waiting helps us do that. It prioritizes the eternal over the temporal. You know, like I told you all the time, the older I get, the better I was. There's coming a day. It's going to be so awesome. You know, it hurts me. It hurt me to bury my daughter. It hurt me to bury our people here in this church. It hurt me to bury Kim Folk. It hurt me to bury all these people. But I know the ones that were ready, they're not hurting. They're excited. You know, look, 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not on things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God's got this. If we'll trust Him, God has got this. Wait on the Lord, which means to grasp Him. Be strong. Again, grasp Him, but now let Him exchange your weakness for His strength, and let your heart take courage. Grasp Him again, but now not only let him renew your body and your strength, but let Him renew your mind. Grab a hold of Him and wait. Watch God work His ways. Ask God about His promises, or ask God about His promises. Invite God to work in your heart. Trust God to fulfill His plans. Waiting on God doesn't mean we're doing nothing. It's about allowing God to do His thing in our life. Everybody stand. Next week, we're going to talk about excuses. God's calling us to stand up, to rise up, to be counted, especially with all this stuff going on. The next week we're going to talk about that, how to get up and get moving, get rid of the excuses. But right now, let's don't get to the excuses yet. Let's get to the waiting. Then we can get to the excuses. God has a plan for our life. Our life individually, our life collectively. God's got a plan. And in order for that plan to work, we have to wait on Him to do all the maneuvering to get us in a position so He can use us. Sometimes we think we see the ultimate end, and in reality, the ultimate end is nothing like what we see. I told you about this before, but my mother and my dad, they were getting fixed up, so when Dad retired, he'd have a little mechanic shop behind the house. And they were getting everything prepared for that, fixing it all up, getting everything ready to go. And that was their goal. That was the ultimate end, was to retire and Daddy have his little shop. And then the doctor told my mother that it wasn't looking good. The diabetes had just eaten her up, got her eyes and her heart and her kidneys and all that. And about the time they thought they were getting somewhere, she got cancer in her belly. And the doctor, when he told her all this, all of a sudden, that didn't matter anymore. That was not the end result. The end result was, I got to get myself right and get my family right so I can be ready and they can be ready. Everything changed. It seemed like overnight. All these big plans and all this stuff changed just like that. The Bible says we can make our plans, but it's God that plots the way. That's why we wait. Wait on God. Be strong. Be of good courage. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here today, and you would say, Pastor, I knew it. I was to wait, but instead I did it my way and I blew it. And now I'm having to clean up a mess that I made because I couldn't wait. Not only has it made a mess behind me, but I think it's made a mess between me and God. And I just don't feel close to Him, and I'm just in a mess. And I need you, God, to help me. Because my impatience has messed me up. But nobody's looking around. Every eye closed. Would you put that hand up and say, that's me? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Maybe you're here and you haven't blown it yet, but you're so eager to take it out of God's hands and put it in your own. You're getting tired of waiting, and you're ready to fix it yourself. You're on the edge, and you're needing God's help to help you stay where you belong. If I'm talking to you right now, would you just put the hand up and say, pray for God to help me right now. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Tell me to keep my hand off. I'll keep my hand out of it. It's in yours, God. Right now together, let's all pray this. Lord, help me to wait on You, to be strong, to let our hearts take courage. Help us wait on You. We thank You for it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, renew our passion, renew our hope, and help us learn to wait on you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tuesday nights, this was really cool. We did something a little different. We're talking about how to and a big help. How many here? Everybody you know all thinks the same way about everything. Nobody does, do they? How many here do you know that everybody thinks about politics the same way you think about it? Everybody you know. No hands are going up. Okay, we're talking on Tuesday nights on how to handle tough subjects in a diverse body. It may be your body at work.